Our King is here, actually. Look inside your heart. He's here. He's, believe it or not, ruling and reigning on high, seated on the throne. It's a good segue, Lynn. Thank you for sharing that. I think we need to remember that Jesus is Lord.
Yes.
Always. Amen. Always has been, always will be. We are not of this world. We're passing through, right? This is not our home. He's right here.
That's right.
He's King of my heart. I don't know. We sing that song. Hopefully he's King of your heart. But he's King. It doesn't matter. Like, the longer I live, the more I realize it really doesn't matter what the world does. I'm not of the world. I'm in it, but I'm not part of it. I couldn't care less what the world has to offer. No matter what you pay for a car, it's still a piece of junk. You know, it doesn't matter. Like, everything that earth can provide is garbage compared to knowing Christ Jesus, right? And that was Paul's mantra: I want to know Christ. And I think if you're a Christian, that should be your pursuit, is Jesus Christ, right? Like, you're so amazing, the riches and glories and wonder and wisdom of God in Christ Jesus. Like, Paul is just exuberant about Christ, that, you know, he was so trapped in religion, just bondage to trying to obey the law, and then all of a sudden Jesus shows up and he's free, and he proclaims that freedom in Christ, right? And our pursuit as followers of Jesus is Jesus. That's it. The world has nothing else to offer. John, the closest one to Jesus, actually got to rest on his bosom, and the one the disciple loves, says, do not love the world or anything in the world. Like, the love of Christ is just so incredible that nothing compares to it, right? And we just sung about it. I want to take you to the book of Colossians today. I have been there all week studying multiple translations and all that stuff, and it's been a real blessing to me. And I came across this verse in Colossians 1:28, which is really the ministry of any pastor or leader and anyone who's discipling anybody. This is your mission. This is my mission with the people of God, who are literally the church, which means called out ones. We're called out of the world. We're separate from the world. We proclaim Christ, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. That's the mission of the leaders of the church. Okay? That's the mission. To equip the saints that they might grow to the fullness of the stature of the measure of Christ. Ephesians 4:12. Okay? That's my mission. And I've been convicted that I have one message, and it's Jesus Christ. Okay, that's the only message that matters, because the world is getting crazier and crazier, and it's the only message that's going to really separate us from what the world is. And sadly, I see many, many people chasing the things of the world. And it comes very subtly, right? Paul is actually writing to the church in Colossae, and I can get into all the background, this church. But they're full of philosophy. It was on a major route, and people would travel through and share their philosophies, and they would gather and just talk about nothing. Talk about head knowledge, about human wisdom, right? And Paul is addressing that. And the biggest problem in that time period in Colossae, in that whole Asia Minor world, is Gnosticism. Gnosticism is basically gnosis to... it's knowledge. It's the acquisition of knowledge. And the more knowledge you have, the closer you are to God, because God is ultimate knowledge, right? And so this sounding a lot like Buddhism. That's basically what Buddhism is you have to attain knowledge by discovering the world and the so-called higher being, if there is one, which ultimately you become, right? That is the pursuit of Gnosticism. And you achieve a demigod status. And Gnosticism taught that Jesus was a demigod. He was in between God. He's not fully God. He's like a demigod, which you can become if you pursue the right knowledge. And so Paul is speaking against this, because this lie, this teaching, had gotten into the church. And it was all about experience and emotion and feeling. And it didn't matter about the Word of God. It was just about, did you have that experience? Did you experience the true knowledge of God through Jesus, right? So they reduced Jesus to an experiential thing, not a true God, the only God. And so Paul is addressing the Colossians. That's why he writes them this letter. And I'm going to go through the whole letter because it's fascinating to me. And what I hope you will discern from the titles I put on is Christ is everything. He's my all in all. He's the only thing that matters. And I'm going to go through, and I plucked out a bunch of scriptures and I organized them into 10 points. Christ, our hope. Christ, our salvation. Christ, our creator. And so I'm just going to go through and show you, because everything, really none of these things are material. They're all like ethereal. They're stuff you can't hold on to physically. It's all you have to find Christ and discover him and discover the wisdom and the understanding and the knowledge that is in Christ. And it only comes from studying Christ. Right. Listen, if I get in trouble, so I find so many Christians just chasing an experience. And they go from church to church looking for an experience. And it's those same Christians who rarely open their Bible and sit with their Bible and say, God, show me Christ in your word, because he is the living word. Okay? And I just want to state that out. If you don't read your Bible, you'll never discover Christ.
Amen.
Because Satan can counterfeit an experience. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
You can get an emotional reaction from bad food.
Yeah.
Or alcohol. That's why Paul says, don't get drunk on wine. Be filled with the Spirit. The only way you're going to know God is to read about God and sit with him and let him teach you. Okay? And John, who's so bold in his letters, in chapter 2 of his first letter, says, you don't need anybody to teach you. You already have the anointing. You just need to sit with Jesus and read his words and allow him to teach you. But what I'm going to teach you is just coming from studying the Word of God and sitting in Colossians and Ephesians and Philippians over all week and just reading it in multiple translations in the Greek and pulling it out and saying, God, teach me. Here's what he teach me. It's the same thing Paul was taught by God. It's all about Jesus. I want to know Christ. That's my mission on planet Earth. And to make him known. Okay? That's why you exist. If he saved you, your mission is to make Christ known. If you're not saved, guess what? Your first step is to know Christ. So let's talk about Jesus. Because I love talking about Jesus. Literally, in him we live and move and have our being. That's what Paul said, right? I don't know about you, but the more you study Jesus, the more you realize, I don't know him like I should. I don't know him. He's just so many. Paul literally says, I think it's Ephesians 1:18, the riches and the depth of Christ. Like, there's so much there. Yeah. You know, some of the old guys in the past said, you could mine it for the rest of eternity and still not discover Christ. There's just so much to him. So, number one, Christ is our hope. He's our hope. Okay? When I was officiating the ceremony yesterday for Wendy's father, it really hit me as we lowered the urn in the ground. That's not the end of the story.
Right.
Because of Jesus, all those ashes, all that little wee container is going to go poof! A full body again with no more pain or suffering. I'm like, oh my goodness. That's only because of Jesus. Like, that's my hope. I'm going to leave this world. Every pain, every wart, every freckle, everything that bugs me, and every mosquito bite and black fly, and everything that you experience on a regular basis is going to be no more.
Every worry.
Okay? It's just like we're in heaven. It's beautiful. Friends, you can have a taste of it now if you choose to live there. If you focus on the things above instead of the earth, guess what? You're going to experience that now because Christ is already in you. Anyway, Christ our hope. I'm just going to read these. I really don't need to say anything else. Just read the scripture. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints. Notice this. Paul does this all the time. Faith, hope, and love. But in this case, faith and love, which you have for all the saints, because of the hope. Do you know, when I read that, I'm like, the hope I have in Christ produces faith and love. That's what he says. Because of the hope, we have faith and love. What faith is believing what I don't see. Being certain of what I hope for. Okay? It's fascinating to me. The more I understand and read the word, the more I have faith. Because what it's showing me is heaven. It's showing me where I'm going. It's showing me the work of Christ. It's showing me the beginning of the story, the end of the story. He is the Alpha and the Omega. The Bible is phenomenal because we don't have to try to figure out the world. God's already figured it out. He's already written the ending.
Yeah.
And I'm headed there. My ending is really good.
Yeah.
It's Jesus face to face. And I have this incredible hope. And I can love my brothers and sisters on earth because I'm going to share eternity with them. Some of them, I hope they're at the far end of heaven and I'm at the different end. But you know what? I'm still going to love them because my love will
be
perfect.
Right. That's right.
All the stuff that happened is going to be forgotten. Okay? Bruno's here. Welcome, Bruno. We used to pastor church together, her husband and I and Ruth and Bruna. And it didn't go so well. It didn't end so great. We were like inseparable brothers in Christ, Paul and I. Okay? Like inseparable. We did so much ministry. Like when you read about Paul and Barnabas, right, or Peter and John, that was us. We were going out in the streets and praying for people and seeing miracles and people get saved. It was so much fun. And then the devil got in there and all hell broke loose. And we parted ways. But it wasn't long after that our love for each other, because we loved Jesus and we really loved each other, we had so much faith to believe God for the impossible, it drew us back together. And our friendship is like inseparable because of Christ, right? No matter what happened. Anyway, if indeed you continue in faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard. The hope of the gospel. What is the gospel? Do you know the gospel? The good news of Jesus Christ, okay? This is the hope. Jesus Christ, in case you don't know it, but you didn't hear it enough yet in this church. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came down from heaven as God and man to do what we could not do, to take our sins upon himself. To pay the penalty for our sins on the cross. He took them to the cross, nailed them to the cross, bled, shed his blood, and by his blood we are forgiven. Okay? And then he was buried in the ground, and you'll see soon why that's important. And he was raised again on the third day to give us new life. Okay? And if you don't have Jesus, if you don't have his life, if you haven't put your faith in him and all he's done and all the death and the life he's given us, then you don't have heaven. Okay, like the next one says, I'm going to read it to you very clearly, and funerals drive me crazy because it didn't matter if you were the worst wretched sinner on earth and all of a sudden you die and you're in heaven. Everybody seems to go to heaven at funerals. However, that's not what my Bible says. To whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Glory is the future state. Okay, when we get glorified, we have a taste of it now, but not fully. But what is the key to glory? It's Christ in you. If you don't have Christ when you die, you're not going to have glory either.
Right.
You have nothing to hope for. It's a big lie at funerals that everybody's in heaven.
Right.
They live like hell and they think they're going to heaven.
Right.
It's crazy.
Right.
They want nothing to do with Jesus and God on planet Earth, but they think they're going to go spend eternity with them.
Yeah. Right.
What's wrong with this picture? Friends, we need to preach the truth. Christ is our hope. Christ is our salvation. Very clear. He rescued us from the domain of darkness. The words here are phenomenal. We're rescued from darkness. We're transferred into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption. Redemption is freedom. He paid the price to set us free. That's what that means. And forgiveness of sins. Through him to reconcile. That means to bring into relationship, because we've been out in relationship. We did not have peace with God. We were at enmity with God. We hated God before we were saved. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, through him I say whether things on earth or things in heaven. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, this is so phenomenal. This is our condition before. Yet, He has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death. That's the gospel. In order to present you before him holy and blameless. He takes this wretched sinner who's done nothing but sin and upset God all his life. Or her life. And in a moment, poof, you're translated out of that miserable darkness into the glorious light of Christ, and you're heaven bound. And his goal now, what he's doing right now, is making you holy and blameless so that you can enter heaven without any of the old stuff. And that's your part two, is to die daily to all that stuff. If indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, not moved away from the hope of the gospel. The hope of the gospel is Jesus Christ in you. Okay? Christ is our salvation. He's our hope. This is phenomenal. This next part, this destroys all the other religions on planet Earth. It destroys all the false religions like Mormonism and what's the other one?
Jehovah
Witness, thank you, because they don't believe he's God. But Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. He's the image. He's the Hebrews 1, the exact representation of his being. Okay? Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Okay? They're one and the same. They're one. He's the third person, the second person of the Trinity. Okay? That word image is icon. It's icon. You know what an icon is. It's a representation, but not in this case. It's an actual, you don't know God because God is spirit. The only way you can know God is through Jesus, because Jesus has made him known. Okay? You see me, you've seen the Father. He's the firstborn. He's not born. Jesus is not born. He always was. The firstborn is a title, okay? Which literally means he's the inheritor of everything. That's why the book of Revelation from chapter 6 on is the transfer of the title deed to all of creation over to the Son. Okay? He unrolls the seals one at a time, and he discovers, well, he already knows, that everything belongs to him. The Father's going to hand the whole thing over to Jesus. Okay? By him, all things were created. All things. Everything is created by Christ. Both in heavens and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, that's the demonic or the angelic host. Thrones, dominions, rulers, authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He's before all things, and in him all things hold together. Why don't the stars fall to the ground? Because he holds them up there. Okay, why is the earth not finished and burned up? And why is it not global warming consumed us? Well, today you might think that. Because he's holding it together. Okay? There's a whole theology on that that I'm not going to get into. But ultimately, do you believe that Jesus is God? This is a big deal. Let me just quickly turn to Hebrews 1, 2, and 3. Just so you know where to find it, and you can defend it when your friend says, I don't believe Jesus is God. Then you go right to the book of Hebrews, or you can go to this chapter 1 of Colossians, Hebrews 2, Hebrews 1, verse 1. Let's just start there. Hebrews 1, 1, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways in these last days, has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. He is, verse 3, he's the radiance of his glory, the exact representation of his nature, upholds all things by the power, the word of his power. Okay? Is there any question? Jesus is not God. He is creator God. In the beginning, God created. Well, it says Jesus created. So, guess what? If A equals B and B equals C, then C equals A. Okay? Jesus is God. It's that simple. Friends, there's a whole lot of people out there that don't think that. Every religion, every major religion does not believe Jesus is God. Including the religion of Hollywood. I won't get into that, but there's this, if you watch videos about these stars and musicians and famous people, they have a warped view of Christianity, they have a warped view of Jesus, okay? Jesus is not a social activist. He doesn't give a rip about planet Earth. He came to get you off of planet Earth, okay? Just saying, read your Bible. Let's keep going. It was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him. Again, he says it twice in this letter. In him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. You want to see God? Read about the Son. Okay? Christ is our head and sufficiency. This is, I don't know. Think about this. Just think about this. The word head, I'm not going to get into all the theology, but just think about this. He's also the head of the body, the church. That's you and me. He's the head. He's the head. Cut your head off. See what happens to your body.
Yep.
Nothing. You'll lay there like a corpse. Okay? You won't do one single thing. Everything will stop. If he's the head, that means he gives life to the whole body. Everything we do, we move, we live is because of him. Okay? He gives us, we have the mind of Christ to know what Christ wants. He's the one who gives life to the church. He's the one who does everything in the church. Man has taken it from him and said, thanks, Jesus, you're the head, but I'm the neck and I'll turn you where I want, right? This is not church. Jesus said, I will build my church. You want to build a church? Let Jesus build it, because he's the head. He's the one who makes the decisions. He's the one who tells it where to go. He's the one who says, arm lift. Mm-hmm. Everything goes through here. Every bodily function you have goes through the head first.
Right.
Okay? That's why Paul says he's the head. He controls everything. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. He's the firstborn from the dead, literally the first fruits, the first one to rise from the dead. We're in him, we're going to be with him too. We're going to rise from the dead. It's a guarantee. But they are not connected to Christ, the head of the body. For we are joined together in his body by his strong sinews as we grow only as we get our nourishment and strength from God. I put the New Living Translation, Colossians 2:19, so that you can see how plain it is. Okay? We're connected to Christ. He's the head, we're the body. He makes everything move. In him you have been made complete, perfected, matured. He's the head over all rule and authority. Okay? You have been made complete in Christ. You need to tell yourself that. Okay? It's past tense. You have been made. And notice it's not you making it. It's a passive. He's making you perfect. He's already made you perfect. You need to walk out who you are in Christ. Okay? Mm. Are we getting this?
Yeah.
Let me get a little simpler. Christ is our life. Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, here's the gospel. Keep seeking things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. In Ephesians, it says we're seated there too.
Yes.
Okay, so if we're seated in heaven with Christ, that's where we are. What are we doing spending so much time on planet Earth? Chasing the things of Earth. This isn't rocket science, right? Mm-hmm. Paul says it in Philippians, seek the things above, where Christ is seated and you're seated. Friends, I'll tell you from experience, chasing things of the world leaves you empty. I mean, a lot of the people in this room, that's their testimony. I was chasing this, that, and the other thing, and it just left me broken and hurt. Right? That's all the world can do. If you chase Christ, it literally leads to life. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on earth, for you have died to your, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, you should highlight this stuff in your Bible.
Yeah.
When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. And the question is Christ your life? Is it your life? Do you wake up in the morning and you can't wait to meet with him? Like, I get up. I say, Lord, wake me up early. I don't want to sleep in. I want to be with you first thing in the morning. And I just go and I sit and I open my Bible and we just have communion. It's a beautiful thing. Friends, there's nothing on earth I would trade that for. Okay? Nothing. You could bring me the fanciest $1 million car and I will not trade it for sitting with Jesus in the morning. Okay? Christ is our wisdom. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding. Notice the language here. In order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures and wisdom of knowledge. Everything you want to know about anything is found in Christ. Okay? That's a big statement. But if I want to figure out how the world works, I'm going to go to the guy who created it.
Yeah.
I'm going to sit and say, Jesus, show me from your word how you created this planet. And he's going to show you amazing things. Okay? It's in the Bible if you want to see it. And we haven't even discovered it. I love some of these Christian scientists that they are scientists second, they are Christians first. And whenever they study science, the discovery of knowledge, it always goes back to the Word of God to bring glory to Christ. Okay? And I encourage you, listen to Christian scientists. They have God's wisdom. It's reconciled. And Paul actually says in 1 Corinthians 1:24 that Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Who can know the mind of God? You can, because you have the mind of Christ. Okay? You can literally sit down, and many, many Christians have invented incredible things. You know why? Because God's wisdom is in them. And they've asked God, God, I need a solution for this. Can you show me this? And God does. Okay? There's so many scriptures I could give you. But I'll keep going. Christ is our foundation. Just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to live in obedience to Him. Here's the foundation part. Let your roots grow down into Him and drop nourishment from Him. So you will grow in faith, strong and vigorous in the truth you were taught. Let your lives overflow with thanksgiving for all He has done. Do you get that picture? Okay. We're the top building. He's the foundation. That's what it says in Ephesians. But in this particular case, he uses the analogy of a tree. And the root system is Christ. And we are all branches coming off of Him. But all of the nourishment, everything we need for life comes from Him. Okay. Are you good? Questions? Thoughts? Just raise your hand. We'll jump right in. Christ our foundation. Christ our victory. Man, it just seems like getting better, isn't it? We were dead. We have been made alive. And we're victorious because of Jesus. Okay? Colossians 2:12. I put the New Living there so you really get a hold of it. You were buried with Christ when you were baptized. If you haven't been baptized, you're still not buried. Maybe. But baptism, that's why Jesus commanded baptism. Because it's an acknowledgement that you're going into the grave and you're dying. And friends, I've seen some incredible things happen when people choose once and for all to die to the world and live for Christ.
Right.
And they choose baptism. You know, I was at a church last Sunday because our house group got canceled, and the pastor was teaching a baptism. They're baptizing, like, it's a big church. There's like 400 or 500 people there at the first service, and there's people getting baptized, and he was just beautiful exposition of what baptism is all about. And it's commanded because it's the best representation of what happens when we come to Jesus. We literally died our old life. And this is the big thing for me as a pastor, that if you want to hang on to your old life, you haven't died with Jesus yet. Okay? You can't drag your old life with you. I mean, I get into all the theology, but basically this, you're dead. Dead people don't drag anything. Okay? If you're made alive in Christ, you're a new creation. The old is gone. You're living in the new. Okay? It's that simple.
Yeah.
If you want to experience Jesus on a whole new level, cut your old life. Get rid of the old life. Leave it in the water. Bury it. Drown them. Do whatever you got to do. Okay? Leave your old friends behind. They'll just corrupt you. You're not going to change them. They know who you are. You can pray for them, and they might call you and say, hey, how come you don't hang out with them, us anymore? And you can say, I found Jesus. Or He found me. And if they're interested, they'll ask, tell me more. If not, leave them behind. Okay? Because they'll just corrupt you. Bad company corrupts good character. That's what the Bible says. I've seen lots of Christians fall back, fall away even, because they choose their old life. You were buried with Christ when you were baptized. With Him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. That's such a great picture. You trusted God. You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all our sins. Man, this is beautiful stuff. He canceled the record that contained the charges against you. He took it, destroyed it by nailing it to Christ's cross. In this way, God disarmed the evil rulers and authorities in your life. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Yeah. Isn't that a great picture?
Yeah.
It's like he's up there saying, I beat you, Satan. Look at, I'm taking the sins of the world. They can have new life in me. In 3 days, all these people who are following me, all the ones who abandoned me, they're all coming back. Because I'm taking their sins. Every single one of them. Even the sins they're going to commit in the future. Paid for. Paid, bought, paid for. And I'm going to enter them. I'm going to raise them up to new life. And they're going to live holy lives for me. And that's exactly what happened. Before the cross, they're running away from Jesus. And after the cross, and he's resurrected and in them and empowering them, that's all they can do is proclaim who Jesus is. And they're giving their life for him, right? Their life means nothing anymore. They're willing to die and be... Read Paul's story in 2 Corinthians 11. There's nothing he doesn't face there. Yes?
In verse 15 there, where it says, in this way he disarmed.
Yes.
And we think, and that's in the New Living, and we think of that as just by, of just kind of like taking away. The note says, or stripped off. And I love that picture. You, Satan, have destroyed, tried to destroy my people, and he strips it off.
Amen.
I love that kind of justice.
It is. It's a great picture. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Disarmed. Yeah. He's a little more aggressive than a little gentle, meek, and mild baby, isn't he? He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. He shamed them publicly. And our victory is because of his victory.
Yeah,
and we can live in that victory. And I don't know about you, but when you're living in a victorious life of Jesus,
right,
people are shamed. Right? Your light, their darkness, they don't like hanging around you. They get a little like crazy around you. They feel the conviction. Anyway, I think we need to walk in victory a little more often, because this is the truth. We're buried. When you choose to go back to your old life, you lose the victory. You lose the testimony. You lose the power of Christ in you. Okay? What you do is you give in to the enemy. And we need to keep walking in victory, because it's ours in Christ. And I'm really encouraged that so many are, really. Some people, you know, there seems to be a lot of people actually choosing to go back. And it troubles me. It breaks my heart, actually. They go for so long, and they think, actually, that I can handle. The one I can't handle is, I got 1 foot in the world and 1 foot supposedly in Christ. And I'm going to straddle the two. And I'm going to keep flirting. I'm going to keep, you know, quenching the spirit and grieving God with my choices. I'm going to live like the world and not in the victory. The victory is this: I'm dead to sin. It doesn't rule me anymore. It doesn't master me, okay? Yeah, I can still mess up once in a while. But it's not, sin doesn't define me. Okay, Jesus defines me.
Mm-hmm.
Christ our victory, Christ our foundation, Christ our model. Colossians 3:10, you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. That's really fascinating. It's the same word. Now you think about this. Jesus is the image of God, and you are the image of who created? Jesus. You're the image of Jesus. Why? Because Jesus was a man. You can't imitate God, really, but you can imitate Jesus because he was here as a man. And this is how it comes out. Watch this. There's no Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all in all. You have to ask yourself that question. Is he my all in all? Therefore, here's how it practically works out, that you're the image of, you know, your fallen image in Adam, but you're recreated in Christ, and now you bear a new image. This is what it looks like. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs of gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That is a transformed life. You are now, if you live that life, representing Jesus Christ. You're an image of who he is when he was on planet Earth. Okay? You're looking more like Jesus. Hopefully, day by day, as you continue to follow Jesus and study him and find out who he is and what he does and how he lives, you will start reflecting him. Okay? Christ is our model. And really, the only way to do that is if Christ is your master. Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve.
Yeah.
Okay? Serve. Are you serving Jesus? Are you living for him? Whatever you do, is it for God and for his glory? Okay? Is it to glorify Christ? And so, let me just recap these real quick. Christ is our hope. Christ is our salvation. Christ is our creator God. Christ is our head and sufficiency. That one maybe I didn't explain. Everything that we desire in life is found in him. Okay? Christ is our life. Christ is our wisdom. He's our foundation, our vicar, our model, and our master. If you go back to the second slide, the second last, Christ our model, you will see here, we forgive because he forgave. We want peace in our hearts. It's the peace of Christ. The word of Christ. The wisdom of Christ. Gratitude. Friends, this ought to be the character of those who follow Jesus. Peace and joy and kindness and compassion and humility. Those are always a good check to see, am I living the Jesus life or am I living the Mike life? Okay, is it the old man who's leading or is it the new creation in Christ? By how I live my life. Do I reflect Jesus? If your love for Jesus is greater than your love for yourself, then he has become your all in all. Okay? He's your all. You live for Jesus. That means you're willing to forego the things of the earth that you think bring you joy, when ultimately it's Christ only that brings you joy. Peace is not found in meditation, unless you're meditating on Christ. Christ is your peace. Okay? Are you with me? This is the end. Everything that you're chasing, whether you know it or not yet, is found in Christ Jesus. He's the all-sufficient, all-in-all that every single person on planet Earth is looking for. Praise God, he's revealed it to us. Okay? Now, let your light so shine before people that they may say, I need to know what you know. And I say, no, you need to know who I know. Because he changed me. I didn't do anything. Amen. End of story. Questions, comments? Good to go. Pursue Christ. Pursue Christ. That's the message. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. You are so good, God. You are so good to call us and choose us and fill us and reveal Christ to us. You are so good to share the good news with us, to show Christ to us, and give us an opportunity to say, yes, I want him. Thank you, Jesus, for going to the cross, taking my sin. Thank you for your blood shed on my behalf. Thank you for going to the grave so that I could die with you. Thank you for coming up to new life that I might live life with you forever. Thank you for eternal life. And God, we want to make you known. We want to know you more. And so I pray you put a passion in our hearts to know you, Jesus. And Lord God, would we find it in your strength to be able to share Jesus with others so that they might know what we know. The greatest truth on earth, that Jesus is alive. He's God. And he wants a relationship with us. Lord Jesus, I pray you'd speak right now to those who need to hear from you. If they don't know you, Lord, I pray that this little sermon, Lord, would have open their eyes to the truth of who you are, and they might put their faith in you, and invite you in to be King and Lord of their lives. Oh God, we love you. We want to know you more. Draw us closer, we pray, for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.